What makes a person superior? A person of great intelligence? A woman of sophistication and class? An individual who's articulate and has a great vocabulary? Someone who's successful in their career and well known? Or maybe that rich person with a really big house? Or a famous individual we see on TV? Superior means higher in quality, above or better than average. Better than others, surpassing others in something, for example, intellect, achievement, or ability. We tend to applaud people who are superior unless they get a little uppity or arrogant, right? Then we just get irritated with them. In seminary, I took a class called, it was a word class, and we used this book, The Superior Person's Book of Words. And it was really a hoot. Like, who knows the word nidificate? Nidificate, it means like nesting in that. For example, if you're at a theater and you say, "Usher, usher, the person in front of me is nidificating." You know, creating a nest with garbage all around him and that. So it was, we really had fun, you know, the superior person book of words. I'm not very superior, so I didn't retain a whole lot, but it sure was fun to learn. But who among us, if we are in need of surgery, don't want a superior doctor? Do you want the doctor who has a 60% success rate? Or the doctor has a 98% rate? It's pretty obvious. We want the superior doctor. We want the one who's better, gets better results. Or how about our favorite baseball team in the new baseball season, the Twins, off to a blazing start, as we know. But we like it when our teams are superior and have a chance to do well and have a winning season. Maybe you can get into the playoffs and win something. It's a lot easier to cheer for a team that's superior than it is for a team like our favorite baseball team has been the last few years. Being superior can be helpful and is even necessary in some aspects of life. And today we consider the book of Hebrews and start a series on Hebrews, writing to us as the church, the people of God, about Jesus Christ. And what the message of Hebrews is Jesus is greater. Jesus is superior. He's better than the others. There's no one else like Jesus Christ. He stands out and above everyone else. He's greater, far beyond, and superior to all. Realizing Jesus is superior isn't really just a nice thing. Jesus being superior, we find, is necessary for us and for what God must do in our lives. As people who live on this planet, in this world, immersed in the daily joys and grinds and struggles of life, we can get caught up in life and not realize that we need a superior person to lead us. We need a superior person to show us the way. We need a superior person, one who is greater, to open doors for us in life. We need a superior person to do for us what we can't, that we're unable to do in ourselves. We need a superior person if we want real hope for the future. All of us, every individual that walks this world, needs someone who is greater than we, because we are sinners separated from God. Even those who consider themselves on earth superior people need someone to mediate with God for them. For no one in themselves can touch the eternal, but through the mediation, the work of the superior, the greater one, Jesus Christ. No matter how good we may think we be, might be, how superior feel, we need Jesus to approach the eternal. Thus, everyone needs this help to bridge the gap, that separation from God, to be reconciled. Jesus is, the writer says, that superior, that greater person who alone has done and can alone do it, bring us back into relationship with God. Jesus and no one else. We can say Jesus is incomparable. There's no one else like Jesus. He's incomparable. He stands out and above. He's outstanding. Not outstanding with a group of others, but outstanding in the sense superior and overall. No one else is like Jesus. And over the next few weeks, we're going to consider what the writer of Hebrews says, and we see in the superior work and nature of Jesus Christ. And today in chapter 1, especially in the verses read, we find that Jesus is the superior form of God's expression. Jesus is a superior form of God's Word, of His speaking to us, His creation. Let's consider a couple thoughts as we look at this. If we want to hear from God, we must realize that our God speaks. To hear from God, to understand what God is saying to us, we have to realize God does speak into our world. The writer of Hebrews, the first couple of verses, says that. Look at verse 1. Long ago, God spoke many times, in many ways, to our ancestors through the prophets. What he says in the beginning of the book, he starts and really picks up what the Old Testament has been saying. That there is a point of beginning. And there is a God who speaks, who interjects himself, his personality, his will, his words into the universe. God does exist. And he exists as the God who has revealed himself to the world through the scriptures and through his work to his people, Israel. He is the God who made the world and everything in the world. There is nothing in this world that has not been made by God. And he has revealed it to us in nature, but also through his word. He speaks to us. But he is not part of creation, for he stands over the world and above creation. Yet, in the same manner, God comes to us and loves us as we live within the world that he's made. So God is over the world, but in his love, he steps into the world. And has spoken many times in many ways in the past through the prophets. This is a God who's not just a local or regional God, a God who's of the mountains, or God of some geography, or between some rivers, a particular force like so many of the ancient gods. In ancient world, we see gods of the sun and the moon, the gods of relationships, or the gods of reproductivity, the gods of the harvest. But this God that the writer is speaking of is the God who is over that, the God who made the world, who's not limited by this, but the God who has reached out and spoken into our world. So our starting point is with the God of creation, the one and only God of the entire universe. And this writer of Hebrews, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, speaks his truth to us. And this book is written to those who are familiar and aware of the Old Testament writings. That's why it's Hebrews. He's writing to the Jews, to those who were followers of Jesus, who were also of the Hebrews, but for all people. But he builds upon so much of the Old Testament law and understanding, showing us Jesus and how Jesus is superior. So his points, his scriptures, his references come from the writings of Moses, the Psalms, and the prophets. Hebrews built on the revelation of scriptures, what we know as the Old Testament, but now then see what God has revealed, which is even greater, telling us of this loving, great, and awesome God who wants to bless us. This is the God who speaks to you and to me. He isn't a God who's disconnected from his creation. Not a God who is at arm's length, but a God who injects himself into it, who loves, who cares, and wants to have a relationship with us, as he spoke through his prophets. Well, think for a moment about some of your best relationships, about a good friend, a great friend, someone who you're really close with. Okay, just think about that person in your relationship. In that relationship you have through the years, whether it's today or it's been through the years, what qualities or characteristics exist in your relationship? And if we put up on the board what those qualities were, we'd probably write a bunch of them down. But there would be one characteristic which would have to be in every relationship. And that is you communicate, you talk, you share, you interact in some way. For how can you have a really good relationship if there is no interaction? Now, it may be face-to-face, but if they're a long ways away, it may be on the phone, it may be by email, but maybe by text, Instagram, Flickr, Twitter, whatever your style of communication is these days. But there's got to be that, what? Communication. You communicate with people that are close to you. And that's part of what makes it such a good relationship. You can communicate and communicate well. None of us would say, I have a best friend, but we never talk, we never share, we never connect, we never communicate. Could that person be a really good friend if you have that sort of relationship? Well, it's not possible. We have to share. That's why it's the same way with God. For without good communication, relationships, significant relationships, are practically impossible. God knows that if we are to know Him, that we need to know more than just something about Him. But we really need to understand His person, His nature, His work, and His plan. God must speak to us. That's why God has spoken in the past. And it's why He speaks to us now, and even in a greater way, through Jesus. He speaks to us through Jesus Christ. God speaks so we can be friends. We can have a relationship with God. For He is the God who speaks. He has spoken to us, thankfully, so we may know Him. We may know His will and His plans. Long ago, the writer says, God spoke many times, in many ways, to our ancestors through the prophets. God speaks in His time and His way, no doubt about it. But praise God, He has spoken to us. He's revealed Himself in ways to us so that we can know Him, trust Him, and love Him. And realizing there's a God who speaks changes our life. Because it means that God hasn't left us without the expression of His will. God hasn't left us in the dark to be on our own without a clue. God hasn't given us a mystery that would never be solved. God, praise be to His name, doesn't just speak to the rich and famous, the brilliant, the powerful. God speaks to everyone who is willing to hear, who is listening to His voice. Do you realize God has spoken to you in your life through His Word, the Scriptures, telling you what He wants to you, leading you so you can understand Him and live by faith? This is the eternal Creator speaking the greatest truths of the universe into your life and into mine. God has spoken to us. What a place to start. In the past, He's spoken through the prophets. God speaks. But God has spoken in the prophets, but He also speaks. He speaks to us, and well, we can need to recognize how God speaks. God has spoken to us. We start there. But how does God speak? How does God speak to us? Well, what does verse 2 say? And now in these final days, He has spoken to us through His Son. God, who had spoken in the past through the prophets, now speaks through His Son. You know, it's commonly accepted by many cultures and societies that God has spoken through words and stories that have been written down. Because you find different sacred texts and things that people consider revealed or scripture of some sort all through the world. In the Old Testament, it was the Scriptures from Moses, the Pentateuch, down to the prophets. But here the writer says that God has done in the past, now He has spoken in a better way, a superior way. He has spoken to us through His Son. God speaks to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And so we're introduced to a new, wonderful, and planned communication from God through His Son, Jesus. The prophets in the past, but now He speaks through His Son. In these last days, these final days, what that means is from the cross until Jesus returns, nothing more needs to take place. These are the last or final days. And God is speaking to us through Jesus. God is speaking in an innovative manner, moving just from the scroll, what's written on paper, to flesh and blood, to the incarnate Son, Jesus, who speaks in a greater way, communicating to us. Communication through a person, and personally, is really the best. You know, you can read a book of the latest business guru, can't you? You might see the person at a seminar. But to have some one-on-one time with this business guru would be a superior form of communicating. Of course, that's often difficult. I heard an advertisement on the radio for Jack Welch. Jack Welch was one of the leading CEOs of recent decades. He was a longtime chairman of General Electric. And he has written books and has seminars. And you can go to his seminars. You can buy his books. But if you want to have one-on-one time to share, I want to share some of my business ideas and get his feedback. Good luck. There is no way you're going to schedule an audience with Jack Welch. He doesn't have time. You don't have enough money. There's no way it's going to happen. Tough luck for you if you want to do that. But you know, that's the manner that God chose to speak with us. He spoke to us through a person, Jesus Christ. He's come down to this world so that you and I could have a relationship with Him, so we could have an audience with Him through Jesus. No longer it's just through His prophets, His Word, but it's through the very essence of God Himself through His Son. And the writer goes on to give us some brief qualifications of God's Son. And we see that in verses 3 through 4. Some of the things he says about God. That God appointed the Son heir of all things, that he would receive his inheritance. It was through the Son that the universe was made. The Son is the radiance of God's glory. The Son expresses the character of God, or better yet, the Son, Jesus Christ, is the exact representation of God's being. Jesus, the Son, sustains everything by His Word. He provided purification or cleansing for our sins. And after this, He sits down at the right hand of the Father in heaven. And He is greater or superior to angels, just as His name, Jesus, which means God saves, is superior to those. God, when He sent His best communication to us, He didn't send an angel. He didn't send a worker bee, a lackey, an apprentice, someone who had time on his hands, who wasn't real important back at HQ. But God sends from His right hand His own Son, who is the exact representation of Himself. Jesus is God revealed to us. For God sends the best communication we could have, Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ. How are you like your mom or dad? Are you more like mom, more like dad? Are you a mixture of both? Often kids have some qualities. Now, it may be 70% mom and 30% dad, but sometimes it's 50-50. Like my son, he's really half his mother and half me with his characteristics and qualities. I remember one time my niece, when she was young, 3-4 years old, and she was trying to pick something up, and she did this grimace, and I saw this grimace on her face, I just started laughing. Because that's what her dad, my brother, used to do. And when you see someone like that, you know, 30 years later, make the exact same facial expression in the midst of their exertion, you can see those characteristics of the kids that reflect their father. Well, Jesus isn't some of his father. Jesus is exactly as his father, the exact representation of his being. He radiates God's full glory. He expresses God's character. He's exact what his Father is. There is not some or part, but complete in terms of what he reflects. That's why in Scripture we speak of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God in three persons. One nature, God, but in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They are unified in purpose, in intent, and nature. Thus, God speaks to us perfectly through Jesus. Jesus Christ, who is greater than the angels, the writer says, verse 4. But this shows the Son is far greater than the angels, just as the name God gave him is greater than their names. And there was a movement in Judaism to highlight and hold up angels. And the writer wants people to see, wants us to know, that all the other spiritual beings are nothing but creations. They can be great, but Jesus is greater. He's superior. He's far more. For he is not part of creation. He is the one through whom the Father created this world. And he is greater than all other things. God has spoken dynamically into our world, not just through the presence of Jesus, but through his whole life, through his words, his life, his kingdom, his resurrection. Every part and every way that Jesus lived, God spoke to us in the highest and the best form. And this new revelation of God doesn't come by angels or other servants of God. It comes through the very nature of God himself in the form of Jesus. If you purchase a new bicycle for your daughter, and it comes in a box and it needs some assembly, and maybe you're putting it together and you're not quite as handsy and mechanical as some, and you're trying to get it together, but those gears and that chain and that whole assembly, it's not coming together right. But you know what? Your neighbor is a bicycle mechanic. And he stops by. He thought, how great is this? And he says, oh, you just got to work on the torque wrench and torquing it right and put the chain assembly together like this. And you're going, what are you talking about? And he goes, well, we'll see you later. And he told you what to do, but he didn't show you. He didn't come to you and speak to you in a way that you could understand. Well, that's not very helpful because although it may be technically correct, you don't quite get what you're saying. How much better if your neighbor would have put his bicycle down, got in there, and got his hands dirty to show you how that chain assembly goes together. That's what God did coming into our world through Jesus. God gets his hands dirty with our world by sending forth Jesus. God doesn't stay apart. He sends forth Jesus in this world to get dirty with our world, to show us how to live and to do the work of redemption through Christ. That is God speaking. That's God's working. All of God's communication is good, but his communication through Jesus is superior. It's the greatest. And the author then, in verses 5 through the end of the chapter, picks up on 7 Old Testament texts and shows how they say from the Old Testament, the agreed on scriptures, how it points to Jesus being superior than the angels. Jesus being superior to all creation. Saying that Jesus, here's a list of these in 5 through 13. Jesus, the Father and the Son, the relationship they have in the first two in Psalms and 2 Samuel. And the angels are to worship the Son out of Deuteronomy. Angels servants in the Psalms, it says, but the Son has a throne forever. The Son, Jesus, is creator eternal, contrasting with creation. And Jesus sits down at the right hand of God. All of this is to show that Jesus is greater. He's superior. He's better. He is God's finest expression. And the word from God that we need to hear. There is no way that God could express himself better. As some express themselves better in forms of writing or poetry or art or pictures than in words, God has expressed himself in the sending of Jesus Christ beyond mere words. Because God's message to us is Christ, our Savior and our Lord. Well, lastly, receive God's speech to you. We recognize that God speaks. We realize God speaks. We recognize how he speaks through Jesus. And then we need to bring this together to realize that we need to receive God's speech to us. Hebrews is clear. The basis of our understanding of God is more than a means to just know about him or to be aware of or be able to speak about God. We are to be people who receive his message, the message of Christ. So the question is, hearing from God. Do you want to hear from God? Who wants to hear from God? Then we must listen. The first verse of the second chapter says this, so we must listen very carefully to the truth we have heard. How do we hear from God? We listen carefully to the truth that God has revealed to us. We listen and we hear because Jesus is the great expression of God. And to hear God, we must be people who do what? Who study and learn of Jesus. Who learn from the scriptures. And if we don't study the scriptures, if we don't open our hearts to it, our communication will be incomplete. We will have a hard time hearing from God. It would be the same thing if you receive a, pick up your phone after a late meeting at work and you get out of work and you get a message you hear and it's a friend whose car doesn't start. And they're in their parking lot at their job down in St. Cloud. And so you hear the message and she's asking for help and you think, oh, it's raining out, it's late. But you think, I got to help my friend. So you head down to St. Cloud and it takes you a while to get there and you get there and you go to her place of work in the parking lot. You search and you can't find her. And you try calling her and she's not answering. You think, what in the world's going on? So you head back home. And you head to her house and stop by her home and there's her car out front. You knock on the door and she opens up and there she is. And you're thinking, what in the world? What are you communicating to me? What's going on? I was just in St. Cloud. And she says, well, didn't you get my second message? No, I didn't get your second message. You look at your phone and boom, there it pops up. It pops up late and you realize that's the message. She says, oh, a tow truck driver came by and helped me start my car. You received only partial communication. You only knew part of the story. You need the whole story to get the facts and to live the best life. Jesus is the final, the second message, the greater, the superior message of God to you. For it's God, message of God for our world, for our daily living. And to miss out on Jesus is to miss out on what God is speaking to us. We need to be people who hear from God. Thought this cartoon was pretty funny. The sheep there, I wonder why I don't hear from the shepherd anymore. Got the TV, the laptop, the book, the radio, the headphones, the sunglasses, everything's going on. Isn't that a good picture for how it is in life lots of times? There's so much we're taking in. There's so much going on that maybe we don't take time to be quiet with God. To spend time, to carve out some time daily, regularly, to just speak with God. To allow Him to speak to us, to His Word. As we pray, I speak to God. But then God speaks to us. How does God speak to us? Through His Word, primarily. That's how God speaks. He's spoken through His Son now in these days, and we see Jesus revealed. How? Through His Word. This is God speaking to us. If we don't cut the clatter and take some time to allow God to speak to us, it's going to be hard for us to hear Him. We must be a people who listen to hear God's voice in a noisy and disconnected world, so that we don't miss out what God has done for us, where God's leading us, where He wants us to live. For if we are going to hear from God, we must open up our scriptures and listen. Listen to God speak. As we pray to Him and ask, we open the scriptures and allow Him to speak into our lives in quietness, to listen through prayer and the Word. Listen to the message. And as we listen, we find out that Jesus is incomparable. That there is no one else who can speak like Jesus. And if we are going to listen carefully and not listen carefully to the truth, or we may drift away, the writer says in the second part of the first verse in the second chapter, we must carefully listen. If we want to hear from God, we must open our hearts and be willing to receive what God says. This requires us not just to open our ears, but to open our lives, our hearts. Listen to God. One of the things that God has taught me over the last few years is if I want to hear from God, I don't want to be a person who says, okay, God, here's what you need to do. But to open my life, to open my heart and say, God, what do you have for me? Even if it's something that I don't want to hear, or I prefer not to do. But if we are going to listen and hear from God, we must open our hearts and lives and say, God, you know what's best for me. I don't. Speak into my life through your Word and tell me what you have for me. Are we willing to receive and listen carefully to what God says? And to listen carefully demands we have open and receptive spirits. Not just that goes into our ears, but to receive what God has. Because God has our blessing, our future hope for us. We can trust Him. For He's the God who's brought forth Jesus from the dead. He wants His best for you. Are you willing to listen to God, who has spoken to us through Jesus, whom we see in His Word? Lord God, we thank You that You have spoken to us through Jesus. For this is a greater and the supreme Word of You to us. We thank You that You loved us so much that You sent forth Christ, and that You spoke to us in this way. Lord, give us receptive hearts. Give us times to set apart, to listen to You, to take in from Your Word, and to obey. Thank You, Lord, for Your Word which is truth, for Your way which is right, and Your direction which is for our benefit and blessing. Lord, we love You and thank You that You have spoken to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.